Good morning. I want to say just a word to the PA room. Keep me up high. I'm kind of on low voice this morning. I'm going to blame it on all the pollen, but pollen is not here year-round, and I think I'm beginning to have trouble year-round. Good to see everyone. We have a visitor this morning, Brother Horace West. Brother Horace, would you stand up? Appreciate you coming. Brother Horace is running for Haines City Commissioner, and I'm recommending him. I've known him a good while, and he's done a good job for us before. And we need all the help we can get from the top down, don't we? Amen. Somebody looking after our interests. Brother Horace, appreciate you being with us. Sure do. Open our Bibles now, the book of John. We're going to go a little further in John 10. In fact, I'm going to back up a little bit in it. I moved a little forward into verse 16 last week and just parked there. That verse tells us Jesus said he had others in another fold, and so many folks, isms and cults try to say that's us. No, that was simply talking about, he was talking to the Jews, but he was telling them also his truth and the gospel would go to the Gentiles also. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. So I'm qualified as a Gentile, not a Jew. Unless we go on the spiritual side, I'm on the spiritual side of Abraham also, amen. Won't park on that, but John chapter 10, I want you to just start with me here in about verse 11. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the good shepherd. You know, when you use the word the good shepherd, it tells you there might be some that's not good. And the truth is, there's a lot of them that are not good. In fact, just humanly speaking, sometimes we forget if it wasn't for the Lord, it looks like evil's in the majority. Looks like it's going to win. It's not going to win. Say, how you know? I read the back of the book. I know how it turns out, brother. Did anybody ever read a library book and have to make a report on it and you skipped to the end? You didn't cheat it a little bit and said you read the book when you just kind of felt like you had to get on and find out how it turned out? I have cheated on it for years because I've studied the book of Revelation. Know how it ends, amen? No, evil's not going to win. It's like the old grandpa said, the Bible says, you know, raise the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. Anybody remember that? But he said, in the meantime, they give you a lot of trouble. That's kind of the way it really works. Let's look at it here in John. Let's pick it up here in about verse 11. Well, I'm going to go back to verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Now, let's think on this just a little bit. In all society, you see this kind of act out. You see somebody that's got their heart in it for the good. You see somebody else that's just in it as a hireling for the money. They're just paid. They're there for nothing else. You see that in all parts of our life and society. I see it politically today, and I'll say something about that whether you like it or not. I've already told you can't fire me. I resigned a long time ago, remember? The truth is, I think we have a president now that cares. I voted for him. I'm glad I did. I didn't vote for him to be my pastor, but the president. There's a difference, amen? Got a few words I wish he wouldn't use, but I am glad of the job he's doing. In fact, all he's doing is trying to keep the promises he made to get in. I keep hearing him say that it's trying to destroy all the car dealerships of electric cars. Now, I'm not necessarily for an electric car, but that's wrong as it can be. Elon Musk is trying to help us out. We're not paying him. Somebody said he didn't get elected. Yeah, but the man that did get elected put him in his spot. Amen. He had a right. President has a right to do that. And some of these judges need to be replaced or kicked out that are trying to stop his agenda right now. I got off on that to say I believe the man really does care for America and for our future. I'll just say to you, America's in a no-win war right now, whether you notice it or not. This is not just politics. Good and evil's at war in our country. When you get a group of people that says we shouldn't deport the rapists and the murderers and take up for them, something's wrong, folks. Something's awful wrong. You say, but they didn't get due process. If I get up during the night and somebody's broken my house, I'm not going to give him due process. I'm going to give him something else. Amen. If he comes in and says, but I'm in your house now. I got all the rights of the family. No, you haven't. The stuff in here don't belong to you. The only thing that belongs to you is this bullet I'm fixing to give you. That's the mess we're in right now. How stupid can we get? How crazy can it get? But it is crazy right now. That's why I mentioned Brother Horace here. We ought to know who stands for what, because we live in a day of deception today. That's one of the biggest signs of not only the Lord's coming, it's a sign of the devil's man's coming too. A lot of them already here, amen? America is in kind of a no-win battle right now as far as human ability counts. We ought to be praying. The scripture admonishes us to pray for our leaders. I've had some I had to hold my nose while I was praying for. I want to have some that I can pray with a good open heart about, amen? Folks, Jesus said he was the good shepherd. The truth is, the bad shepherd's on the way. I'm going to talk about that a little bit here, perhaps this morning. But we need to battle in America for what's right. It's the future of our kids that's at stake. I'll guarantee you that. You know, compare a little bit the good shepherd and the hireling. The one that is just so, I know a preacher one time that had a big ministry and he had to have a lot of workers hired. And somebody asked him, when you interview somebody for the job, how does that go? What do you want to know about them? He said, well, the first thing is if they come in and very quickly they say, how much does it pay? He said, I'll say to him, I don't need you. If you don't have your heart in the cause, if you don't care, it's not about how much money you're going to earn. It's what you want to do because it's right and what the need is. And I that's where we're at politically today. This is talking about the difference of the hireling. Well, he sees the wolf coming. He's not going to lay down his life for the sheep. So Jesus is, you see, the Bible is written, folks. We read it, we get what it says straight up. But the Bible, like no other book, is also giving you another picture. It's all, the whole thing is fitly to get framed together. And so when it's telling you something that you plainly can read, oftentimes it's giving you a comparison or a picture or a type. And I think Jesus is doing that when he says, I'm the good shepherd. You think on it just a little bit here this morning about that. The one that's going to show up, we know as the bad shepherd or the deceiver. Common word we use for him is Antichrist. Antichrist is anything that Christ was for, he's against, or he counterfeits what Christ was for. We're living in a day and age where the Antichrist is talked about a lot. College students study more. Instead of studying the Bible, they study Nostradamus. You know, they talk about Nostradamus. All he ever got right was he got from the book of Revelation. He didn't get it all, but he got enough. But they don't give the book of Revelation the credit That's where he got it from. Nostradamus says there was going to be three Antichrists. You remember that? That's the interpretation. Now, he wrote in quatrains, four lines. He wrote to where most anybody can make it say whatever they want it to say. So it's not like the Bible. No one scripture stands alone. It fits together, all framed together. Nostradamus said there would be three, and the folks that claim for him claim they know what he said. They believe that the first one was Napoleon, the French guy. They think he was the first one. Of course, everybody knows the other one, Hitler. And it does seem that what he wrote seems to fit Hitler more than others, and he'd be the second Antichrist. Who is the third one? He didn't really identify it, but he did kind of seem to identify the times that we are living in. I believe we are living in the times. The Bible says he'll be revealed. I believe we'll be going up in the rapture. I don't know if the Lord will let us look back and see who's taking the seat, and he is going to take a seat, seat of authority. I tell you what. Everybody says, what seat is that? Well, over in 2 Thessalonians, I won't ask you to go to it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, around verse 4, it says that he'll sit in the temple showing that he is God. Now, we talked to you not long ago about how near the rebuilding of the temple in Israel is. They've already built the altar over there, and when Hamas struck on October the 11th, the 7th, whatever it was there, they were fearful the Jews were about to start the sacrifice again in the temple. So that's why they struck. So there will be a temple built. The Antichrist will set in it showing himself to be God. He'll be the deceiver. He'll be the false shepherd, the bad shepherd, as I'm comparing this morning. I can't pay a whole lot of attention to all the other prophets. The Bible's the only book of prophecy you can pay any attention to. It's the only one where you compare scripture with scripture and get the whole truth. But Brother Perkins just said to me a while ago, said, look what's happening in the world right now. Well, do we folks that have already got on an extended warranty like I have, let the trumpet sound, brother. Can't get any better than that. Truth of the matter is, I feel all the mileage this morning. I said to my wife before I left the house, I'm probably going to be sad I even came today, but I'm trying, so you help me out. Try to listen double fast this morning, all right? I hope my voice don't sound as bad as it feels this morning. Probably does. But anyway, going back to the fact that the Antichrist is going to sit on a seat. What seat in the world would it be right now? We know he'll be sitting in the Jewish temple when it's rebuilt. There's a lot of argument about what seat it would be. There's three seats that are kind of identified in the world today. For instance, it's interesting right now, who's going to take the seat in the UN, United Nations? That's a big one right now. Something like that. Somebody is a seat of authority to rule the world. The Pope has been sick. Has anybody noticed that? Now, his seat's very likely going to be open pretty soon. Who's going to take it? There's another one. It would be the king's seat in England. Prince Charles, I guess, is the one probably to hit right now. So there's some places of authority, seats of authority in the world. The Antichrist, which one will he sit on? I think he'll be in the temple. I think he'll be trying to show himself that he's God. Say, well, who is the third one? I don't know who he is. Nobody knows. He's yet to be revealed. You can look around and speculate it's going to be this guy or that guy. We don't know that yet. I believe we'll get raptured out of here as Christians first. But the idol shepherd is described. If you want to give you a little something to study, go back with me to the book of Zechariah. I believe chapter 11 of Zechariah. I've written in the margin of my Bible here, the idol shepherd. That's idol, I-D-O-L, not I-D-L-E. He's not idle, he's busy. But he is the idol shepherd. Now, if you got a new version of the Bible, which I hope you don't have, because most of those new versions are messing things up. They'll change the word here on idle, they'll change it to worthless. Even the New King James Bible. Watch out when things start saying, we got something new. You better watch out before you give up the old, brother. I think about that a little bit. I remember when they used to advertise on TV, they used to advertise new, what was the deodorant? Blue Secret? We got new Blue Secret. I thought, must have been something wrong with the old. Maybe it's a deodorant, maybe the secret was out, it didn't work. I had a friend one time in the hot rod days, we were all joking around, sweating, working on the car, Florida heat. And somebody jokingly, probably telling the truth, said somebody's deodorant has failed this morning. My friend said, I know it wasn't me, I'm not wearing any. The truth is, sometimes when something new comes, it's because the old was not working. Listen, we don't need a new Bible. We just need a new look at this old Bible. It's not broken. It's still the Word of God, true, tested, and proved. Amen. But this passage here in Zechariah chapter 11, read it. I'm going to try to read it to you. The Lord says in chapter 11, verse 16, for lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young ones, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. All these things you just said describes a sick sheep. When it stands still, it's sick. People that know animals, I used to have to take care of the chickens when I was on the farm as a young kid. I noticed when a chicken got sick, they'd stand still over there. You ever notice that? And sheep the same way here. But the idle shepherd, the fake shepherd, he doesn't doctor them. He doesn't take care of them. It's what it's saying here. So the Lord is saying the idle shepherd, that's going to come. He's all for himself. He's the hireling compared to what Jesus was describing over here in John chapter 10. The hireling one, he don't care. He'll run when the wolf comes and so forth. He won't give his life for the sheep. So he's describing that false shepherd to come, not the good shepherd, but the bad one. He said he'll eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Then he says the last verse of chapter 11 of Zechariah, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. I've talked to you about this, I'm sure, in times past. But it's describing a clue here as to who he might be. I don't tend to necessarily be here, but the truth is I'd be very interested, or I'd certainly get my attention if some politician rose up and somebody tried to assassinate him and he wound up with his right eye knocked out and his left arm limp. In other words, if he lived through assassination, God might be telling us how to recognize the idle shepherd when he comes. Takes a seat of power somewhere. If the new version of the Bible is trying to throw you off because he's going to be religious, connected with him is going to be idols. Now the Ten Commandments, how many of you know where you find in your Bible to read the Ten Commandments? Exodus chapter 20. Don't go there now, but what's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and you're not to make any graven image to them. The likeness of heaven and earth, you know what the first commandment says. But when you get to Revelation chapter 13, you find out that the Antichrist has his number over there, 666. And all this description, the Bible says that they'll make an image to the beast. Now, this is a little interesting for our day and time and our technology now. The image of the beast will both speak. He'll move. He'll speak. We're in a day and time now where a lot of AI is being talked about, artificial intelligence. I've seen on TV a time or two where they had a robot in the kitchen. I heard a lady ask the other day, I'd like to have one if he'll fold clothes. I also heard a guy say, I got one. Said, I'm getting jealous of him. My wife likes him better than me. I don't know about all that, but I just am saying this. We're in the day and time where an image can speak and move. In other words, a talking stature, if you please. And that's what the Lord warned about, making an idol or a statue to worship it. There are certain religious leaders have had statues made, and the common people have come to them and kissed them on the toe till the toes wore off the statue. That idol worship was what got Israel in so much trouble. You read through the Old Testament, how they went after false god and false idols. This Antichrist, the third one that will come, if we're going to count them like Nostradamus does, Bible doesn't give you three, it just gives you the one, of course. But he does have some things to recognize. It's connected with idols. A lot of religions are connected with idols. The Bible tells you the idol doesn't see, he doesn't hear, and all that. But the truth is, missionaries can tell you that the demons use that business with heathen people. They'll cause a statue to cry or to bleed or something else. Well, that must be of God. Listen, everything that is supernatural is not necessarily of God. The devil has a lot of supernatural power too that the Lord allows him to have. And he uses that to deceive. Sadly, we see a world that is greatly deceived by him today. But the idol shepherd here could be changing the work version of the Bible and calling him worthless takes away the idea that you'd be expecting one to have something to do with religion or idols, that sort of thing. The Antichrist is a very real person that will come, but one we're more interested in is Jesus Christ. The Lord is coming. The Bible tells us that Book of Revelation that finally the Antichrist is going to be cast in the lake of fire with the devil and the false prophet. Amen. Be his final end. But the big thing of deception is connected with the end times. And I certainly believe we're in the end times. I also believe this, folks. I talked about a while ago America being in a struggle. Do you know the rest of the world is pretty much governed by what happens in America? There's a real truth that America is the strongest nation. Whatever happens in America is going to affect the rest of the world. Sadly, America has been the great nation to send the missionaries and send the gospel around the world and feed the poor like no other nation. But at the same time, we've also deported our own evil ways and our only, especially this last days and time. I remember, Dr. Lee, you remember when we were in Russia, and people that were there had paid a price to have an underground church and got put in jail for just having a Sunday school. And they were persecuted in jail. I remember being in one preacher's home. They put him in jail when he had a young family, just had two or three kids, and they put him in jail for being a pastor. He got out, and finally, after a great number of years, his kids all grown, they'd only been allowed to see daddy once every 5 years or something in prison. It just broke my heart to hear the story and to sit there in their house and hear them talk about that, what they went through, for nothing more than what I'm doing now, teaching the Bible. Sad, but what's at stake in America for our kids in the future is whether they're going to have the freedom that you and I grew up in and have now, or whether they're going to grow up under a dictatorship and have the kind of suffering I'm describing there in Russia. But I remember this, talking about America deporting our good, we've also deported our evil to a great degree. After I got home from that, got some letters from some of the pastors, because see, at that time, Power Stryker and Gorbachev had lowered the rules to where a lot of Americans could come in, and a lot of folks were going to Russia at that time. Not only good churches like the ones I was with going over, but some of the worldly liberal groups had gone over there also. So the letter I got back from some of the Russian preachers was simply saying this: "Preacher, please tell the preachers when they come over here not to bring their rock music, not to bring the stuff that we preach against here, was because they thought that represented all." I wrote them back and said, "I'll tell everyone I can because I'm preaching it all the time. If you name Christ, you ought to depart from iniquity. You ought to live the separated Christian life." But sadly, a lot of that went in. I mean, some of the cults and isms was getting over there also. And sadly, America's guilty of that very thing. This Antichrist, the word anti can also represent counterfeit. He's going to be a counterfeit Christ. Deception is the sad part about it. It's the easiest thing to be deceived. I've told my wife every time the phone rings, be suspicious of it. We're in a day and age of deception, brother. Somebody called me the other day and said, "Your Google account needs updating." I thought, "It sure does. I don't have one." I don't know how many of them I've told to go jump in the lake. You say that's not kind. They need to do that. They need a bath. The sad truth is the deception is just about everywhere you want to. I keep remembering one lady. I remembered her name pretty well. She called, and she was very elaborate. She was laying out a long con for me to go to the bank and do this, that, the other, and give her my number and all this stuff. I happened to have time and was in a mischievous mood. You ever get in one of those? You ever see Dagwood in the paper when he gets that grin? You know he's fixing to do something wrong. I have a few moments like that sometime. I was having one that day when she called. And I guess she probably already got a peek at my driver's license. She knew I was old. I tried to play like I was even older than I was. My wife said I wasn't playing. I was just being natural. But anyway, I let her go on and on and on. I mean, she had an elaborate scheme for me. Her first name was Anita. I remember that well. Finally, I said, "Anita, do you believe in God?" "Oh, yes, Mr. Carter, I certainly do." I said, "You know God said in the Bible that all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire." She hung up. I felt led to hang up. The truth of the matter is deception's just everywhere. You better watch it. They're really, really tricky. I mean, very tricky. Had one call the other day, Brother Earl, said, "Grandpa," which I are one, "Grandpa, this is your grandson. I've been in a wreck." I said, "Which grandson?" Couldn't answer. See, I only got one. I had seen him. I knew he wasn't in a wreck. You got to have a little fun with them sometime. But this age of deception, just every time you turn around, it's something like that. The Antichrist is going to very likely be voted in by a lot of people. It may not be a vote, but he'll deceive the world into stepping in. I have a theory myself, and that is this. I couldn't prove it by the scripture. But I think he's going to come in explaining what happened to the millions that disappeared when the rapture took place. Can you imagine the chaos of this world when the trumpet sounds and God's children go home? That's going to be a scary time. They're going to be looking to answers. People are looking now for the government to answer everything, take care of them from the cradle to the grave, all that. At that time, they're going to want to know what the answer is. I've probably told this, but it's been so long ago, I forgot it myself. I was in the dentist office many years ago. I'm talking about probably very close to the early 60s. And you know how you go in there and you wait and your tooth quits hurting for a while? That's what was happening to me. I was reading the magazines in the waiting room. And it's back when they had those big magazines with big colored pictures. They were showing the universe and planets and all that. And it said, sometime in the future, another planet may come close to planet Earth, and the magnetic pull will cause millions of people to leave, be attracted up. I thought somebody's trying to explain the rapture. Yeah, it won't be another planet. It'll be my Lord Jesus Christ that comes. Amen. Talk about him being the good shepherd. It says the sheep know his voice. If you're one of his sheep, you'll know his voice. If you're not his, you may not even hear him. You have some cases in the Bible where those, when the Lord spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, Paul heard him. The entourage of people that was with Paul didn't. They just heard a noise. But the world's going to miss some folks when they're gone. Amen. I'll tell you what, some of us are getting feeble enough now, we won't cry about it. We'll say hallelujah when it happens. Amen. I pretty well got most of the mileage out of this old body anyhow. Talk to two or three of you and find out we all need to be taken to the shop, don't we? Need a little repair work. Best thing, just get a whole new one. And that's what I'm looking forward to when the Lord comes. I want to just show you this. The idol shepherd is talked about in the Bible, talked about in history like Nostradamus and other stuff. But he will show up. But he's the false shepherd. He's not the good one. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. I thank God the day I heard the gospel and realized the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. I'm going to hear his voice when the rapture comes, but I've heard his voice from his word ever since I've been saved. And that's the only word you can trust today is what comes from the Lord. Okay, Brother Smith, I believe my time's up. Okay, we're praying against the rain today. Brother Bert said, let it rain. Let's wait till the party's over because a lot of kids, that's what all these teenage signs around, they got a big deal after church today. So be praying about that. All right, that's it for Sunday school this morning. About 8 or 9 minutes, the preaching service will start.